The Word of God makes us more like God. When we do not have knowledge of the Word of God, it is impossible for us to be formed into the same image. When we poured into the Word of God, we get conformed into the image of the dear Son of the living God, who is the Word. And so we thank God for His Word. But we are also very aware of this, that the Word of God that we receive, the Word of God that we embrace, is a word that we need to obey. Because when we do not obey the Word of God, we are rebellious. And rebellion and disobedience, as far as God is concerned, is equivalent to witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft, if you were to look at that word in its compound sense, is the twisting of wickedness with a mindset that wickedness is good. It's a craft. It's wickedness, whether it's done spiritually, whether it's done emotionally, whether it's done verbally, whichever way it is happening, it is doing something and twisting something or resisting a particular vision or destiny and thinking that's the right that you have to do it, which thinks it is their right to do whatever it is they are doing. And when we rebel against the Word of God, we are basically saying, God, I have the right to make this decision, and your decision is making me uncomfortable, and my decision will trump yours. That's not healthy, but that's how it goes. When we obey God, we are basically saying, God, you're right. Whether I agree or don't agree, whether I like it or don't like it, I say, God, I agree with what your word says. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to misrepresent it. And that is a powerful thing. Just staying true to what the issue is. When I look at what is happening in our world today, my concern is that people just think they can do whatever it is they want to do, say whatever it is they want to say, interpret whatever it is that the other person said through their own lens, colored lenses. You can be listening to the same thing and people will be coming up with all kinds of twists on the same thing, and you shake your head and say, what on earth is going on? How did you come up with that conclusion from this? And how couldn't you have come to this conclusion because of this? You know, what's going on? But that's the world we live in. But when we look at the Word of God, the Word of God begins to tell us some certain very clear things. And one of the things you might think, how can you make this next statement you're going to make based on these verses that you're going to be reading? I make it because God will cause us to be judged based on how we judge. Many years ago, before the change, I'm not claiming that it's because of me, but I remember many years ago, I preached a message right here, and I said, God is going to judge the world that is celebrating Christmas. They keep on saying, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, but they do not acknowledge the Christ. And the next year, they changed it. They started going against using the word Merry Christmas. Now, I don't know whether it was because of what I said. I don't know who was listening or who's not listening. But that was true then. This statement that I'm about to share with us from Matthew chapter 7, because that's where we are, the Lord makes his statement. He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Judge not that ye be not judged." It says, take yourself from the judgment seat so that you don't get judged. Especially because by the way you judge, that's how you're going to be judged. And now we've come to a place in our world where people just stand for the truth they want to believe. Everybody has their own truth. You got your truth. I got my truth. Every group has their truth. And they make judgment based on whatever it is that's convenient that matches with their truth for that particular moment. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because truth is truth. There is a standard. And when God says, judge not that ye be not judged, he's basically saying, let there be a standard of truth that separates you from making the judgment. Let the word make the judgment. Not you coming with your own judgment, and that person coming on with their own judgment, and that person else coming with their own judgment. There is a truth. Let the truth judge. If you're driving down the street and you're supposed to be in this center lane, there's a lane on your right and there's a lane on your left, and you swerve off of your center lane into another person's lane and get into an accident, if you're a truthful person, you will say, it was my fault. You're not going to say, why weren't you watching when I was turning and cutting you off? If we decide on what the truth is based on what is convenient to us, then we live in a society that is messed up and totally confused. That's not where God wants us as his people. Amen? He wants different for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he says, judge not that ye be not judged. Let truth judge. That's basically the point. You cannot serve two masters. Is God true? Then focus on that. Or else, you're going to judge based on, oh, it's my family. So therefore, you got to cut them a slack because it's my family. But you're going to jail. Why is your family not going to jail and mine is going to jail? Because I'm the boss around here and I decided that I'm going to be lenient towards my children, but you're going to jail. It's no standard. Nobody has a standard. And so the word of God becomes the standard. You know, there are things happening down south right now. They battling through their Supreme Court judge selection and stuff like that. And the people making the judgment, whether the senators or whatever, they've got their own skeleton in their closet. But they're going to be judging some guy over here that did something 35 or 36 years ago, true or false. I don't know. It's none of my business. God knows what the truth is. And so, in spite of all of the discrepancies, they say, we don't like this guy, therefore, he cannot be judged. It doesn't matter whether he's guilty, even if he's proven not guilty, we still don't like him, being a judge. Based on what? Well, he's going to be there and he's going to be reading out of that constitution and he's going to be strictly stuck to what the constitution says. Okay, so that's, we have a standard, it's the truth. It doesn't matter whether the guy was drunk or not drunk or crazy, or the truth is the truth. And if he does something against that constitution judges him. That's the standard. That's what you decided, your forefathers decided was going to be the standard. Keep it the standard. If he doesn't qualify, he doesn't qualify. But don't you come and say, you can point a finger at somebody and accuse them today because you don't like their face and without any corroborating witnesses or whatever, that that person is guilty. If it's that way, anybody can accuse anybody and that person will be guilty. And if that's the way you want to do it, that's the measure. Somebody accuses you, that means you're guilty already, then let's go at it. Last man standing. You can't do that. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Because the way you judge other people, that's how you're going to be judged. So be careful how you're making your judgments. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You sow it, you're going to reap it. You cut people slack, you get the same slack. You're stringent and judgmental and critical and whatever, that's what you're going to get. The Lord already told us how you forgive other people, that's how I'm going to forgive you. So what do you want? Do you stand for truth? Or do you stand for what is convenient? What works for you? What's going to cover your pocket? The Bible says, the first disaster to truth is bribery. When you can be bribed, whether it's by money or by things or by fame or popularity, position, then truth is, without a doubt, the casualty. Truth has to be truth. Is this wrong? Yes, it is wrong. Wrong in the morning? Yes. Wrong in the afternoon? Yes. Wrong at night? Yes. So at all times, this is wrong. Yes, it is wrong. Okay, we have a standard. There's got to be a measuring stick. You go try to build a house without having a standard of measure of measurement. Anybody can decide. I decide the window is 6 feet, and in its measurement, 6 feet means 4.5 feet. Let's say it's how it's going to fit into that window hole. The other guy thinks 6 feet is 6 feet, and you come, 6 feet is 4'6". How does that work? I can change parts in my vehicle because there is strict measurement. This bolt is 5/8. Anywhere I go, I find that same kind of 5/8. It will be the same thing. Standard. It is the standard that becomes the judge. It's not based on what I think, you think, we think. It's not based on what the society as a whole thinks. The truth is the truth. Good is good, evil is evil. And if you keep on shifting the post, then nobody knows what right is anymore, what wrong is anymore, and nobody is safe anymore. So when God tells us, don't judge, he's calling us to a place of safety. And then He goes further. He says, while you're making that judgment, consider this. How is it that you're beholding the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but you're not considering the beam that is in thine own eye? Hey, brother, you got a problem. And on the basis of what are you making that judgment? You've got a big beam in your eye, and you are able to determine exactly how wide or deep this mote is in your brother's eye? Are you making that judgment? So what is God saying? Get out of the judgment game. Let God do it. This is the word of God. The word of God makes clear what the truth is. He has given to every one of us our conscience. He's given to us, every one of us, our heart. He's given to us the ability to discern. Now, there are people who are hardened in their hearts. There's no doubt about that. And the only way to address those situations is to let what the standard is make the judgment. God is not saying there should be no judgment. He's just saying, in essence, let God be the judge of this situation. Let the standard of measurement be the judge of this situation. If you say in your statute that after 60 years or 99 years or 100 years, I think most parts of the world is 100 years, land can be reclaimed by the person you sold the land to. Now, we don't do it, but that's the reality. You know, you can own land for 99 years, and the people who sold it to you can come and say, that land comes back to us. No land is actually totally sold. It's leased out. We say sold, but if you go to the real bottom line of it, somebody can come reclaim it. Now, the reason it's 99 years is because the children may not have the fight enough to come and say, well, this land belongs to us. You got to tear your building off and on and on and on and go through the battle of court and digging up all of the legal systems. But if that's the standard, somebody can come and say, that land belongs to me. Well, we bought this land from your family. How long ago was that? 100 years ago. Okay. Legally, around the world, 99 years. I can take claim to that land now. You don't have a battle. Okay, I have to buy it back. What's the new price? If that's how you set the law, that becomes a judgment. And you win your case. But if you don't have that, what are you making your judgment by? It is going to shift. It will shift here in Canada. It will shift down in the States. It will shift in Malaysia. Shift anywhere. And so God calls us as human beings to a standard. Be careful how you're making your judgment. Because when you make that judgment, it's going to come back and bite. It doesn't matter whether you're in the pulpit or in the pew. Think about it. The decisions we make, we've got to be forward thinking. This decision I'm making, the side that I am siding with, is this based on truth? Universal truth based on the word of God. Because if you are being impartial Don't cry blood when somebody else becomes impartial towards you. Do it. You sowed it, you reap it. If you've got a beam, how are you figuring out the mote in your brother's eye? Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? Let me pull it out. Let me pull out that mote. Let me pull it out of your eye while you've got a beam. You want to pull out this mold, this straw out of my eye? You've got a beam in yours? What is the Lord talking about? He's saying, you that have bigger problems, you got big mold, you want to go take a straw out of somebody's eye. Your problem is bigger than his. But you want to sit at the seat of judgment judging this person. You are an armed robber. The guy just stole 25 cents. You want to place judgment? Sit down. Just sit down. Let somebody who has the right to deal with this situation deal with it, not you. You're going to be a Clinton? You're going to sit in the seat of judgment on anybody? No, shut up. Sit down. You're not qualified. And that's basically what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. You got a mote, man. You've got a beam. You want to go take a mote or straw out of somebody's eye? A dry twig out of somebody's eye? And you've got a big 10x4? Sit down. There's only one person who can truly make this judgment. Is the one that is sinless. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Get rid of that beam out of your eye. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Take care of yourself first. Acknowledge, basically saying, acknowledge the fact that you've got issues and that you've dealt with it. You're a drug addict. Bumbling drunk. But now you want to fix somebody else. Jesus says, sit down, man. You've got big issues. Deal with your issues before you start trying to help somebody here. Sit down. Sit down. Because you're going to cause more damage than help. And that's the idea. You're going to create more problems than help anybody getting involved with this. Sit down. Thank you very much for your speech. Sit down. So he goes on. Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you or tear you apart. And one may think about it and say, well, this is so way out of point. We're talking about judgment. Dealing with that, now you're talking about give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Basically what he's saying is this. He's not changed the point. He's simply saying, listen, when you've got issues, don't start siding with people. And saying, let's say, for example, you're a drunk, you're a drug addict, Not only are you abusing it, you're selling it. And you see this person who has an issue, and you go and you say, I understand it was because of this. It's because you were raised in a poor family. This is the only way you can do this, and blah, 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 blah. It is okay. It is okay. You cast in holy truth to a dog, you are going to be blamed for whatever danger or damage continues to happen in their lives. At some point, they're going to turn back against you. You think you're trying to do something good, but you just created a big, serious problem for yourself. So what's the Lord saying? Be truthful, period. I understand. It's casting gold to a dog that returns back to his vomit. So you been tolerant, so you think. Now that guy started with one drug. Now he's experimenting all kinds of things because nobody told them the truth. It's my baby. It's your baby. Now you don't tell the truth. Oh, it's my cousin, my brother. So now that means you don't deal with it. You don't deal with the situation. No, that's not how it goes. Because that guy may escalate in his abuse and one day destroy himself. He's driving down the street, kills a lot of people, drunk driving, because, oh, I understand. He says, be careful. Because it will, on one hand, it's judgment, critical. On the other hand, it's okay. Don't do that. The truth is the standard. Somebody understand what I'm talking about? Am I talking to myself? The truth is the standard. It doesn't matter who it is. The truth is the standard. Now, judgment ultimately is God's. And you deal with things properly and uprightly, to the glory of God. Now he makes his shift. The shift is in verse 7. And I'll go through that real quickly. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. God is saying to us that we should seek God, seek Him for the help that we need. Whatever the help is, seek God. Ask Him and He will give. Seek Him and you'll find. Knock and it's going to be open to you. Now in the English it works perfectly. It may not work in a different language, but in the English it's perfect. It says ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. In other words, ask. That's the point. Ask. Be one who asks God for solutions, for direction, for guidance. He says, when you do so, you will receive when you ask. You're going to receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it will be open to you. Whatever it is you're looking for, it will be open to you. Understanding will be open to you. Relationships will be open to you. Finances will be open to you. Revelation will be brought to you. Whatever it is that you're asking God for, you believe this, you're going to receive. Whatever it is you're seeking God for, believe it, you're going to find it. Whatever it is that you're knocking for will be opened to you. Knock, it shall be opened. I think that's an important statement for us. Because the act of knocking means that you have to be there with a level of persistence. And you have to give the person who is coming to open the opportunity to get from wherever it is they are to come to that door to open it. So with knocking, God says, be persistent at knocking. If you're seeking, you're looking for something. It's not that. It's not that. Not this. Not this. Oh, I finally found it. Seeking means persistence. But what about the asking? The word asking here signifies not just a one-time attempt, but a continuous act. So basically, ask or keep on asking. Actually, some translations will put it that way. Keep on asking, and you will receive. We quit too quickly. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. Well, you've already shot yourself in the foot when you're already saying, I don't think it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't think so. It has always, and we use things like, you always this and you never this. And those statements lock out any change, any possibility of change. It doesn't matter how many times people have asked and not received. You make the decision that when you ask, you receive, because the Word of God says, ask, everyone that asketh, receive it. Everyone that asketh, receive it. If you're asking, you are going to receive. Now, what is the foundation of this statement, asking, seeking, and knocking? It goes back to the statement that we started out. Let the truth be the judge. Let God be the judge. When you know that when you are asking God, even though you're going to ask through this man, you know that God can speak to a heart of a man so that you can receive whatever it is that you are asking for. That while you are seeking, that God can direct you because you've acknowledged them, that he's sovereign over your life and he will help you find. That when you knock, it's going to be open to you because God is your helper. He will cause a man that is sleeping very deep to hear. What was that? What is that? Oh, I think I heard a noise. And come to the door and open. God will cause things to move together for your good. Amen? That is when you put God first. So, you say, what do you mean? He told you already in verse 33 of chapter 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is the foundation to it. God, then everything else. God, then everything else. What does God think about this? The world says, you did something wrong 7 years ago, 50 years ago, and that thing is going to mess up your life today. And God says, that's the way you want it? Remember, that's the judgment you made. You made that judgment. You decided that they did something 50 years ago, and now it is, even though they have changed and they've not done anything like that, but because they did it 50 years ago, that is going to taint them now. Okay, remember you made that judgment. And I'm going to judge you based on the judgment that you made. I never heard about Jesus. Okay, well, that's good. How did you judge in life? Did you forgive? Do you like forgiveness? Do you like to be forgiven? Yeah. I'm only human. I make mistakes. And I like to change. And I've been trying. Okay, good. Johnny over here. He did such and such. Yes, he did. That mean, wicked person, he belongs to wherever. He should be. Oh, wait a minute. Did he tell you he made a mistake? Yes. Does he deserve the same judgment that you allowed for yourself? Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, he deserves it, but. Oh, there's no but. Since you've decided that he deserves judgment, you deserve judgment. I will judge you based on your judgment. But when you decide God is the standard, then you must know also that God, who is the standard, is well able to forgive. He's well able to wipe things off. He's merciful. He is gracious. He is loving. He is kind. He is giving. Jonah understood that. Jonah understood that. And he said, those who embrace vanities forget about the mercies of God. Don't do that. I'm so clear about these statements of the Lord. Because I know this. If anybody wants to fault you for anything, they will fault you. I was having a discussion with my daughter the other day. I said, you know what? Accusations. That's what got Jesus to the cross. Just somebody accusing. He never sinned. He didn't do anything wrong. But they accused him. And they said this. And they said that. And they said this. Accusations. I don't know where I was speaking recently. Must have been in one of the services. Jesus has to come from Bethlehem. He has to be the seed of David. Right. But they did not check the records properly to find out that, yes, he was born there. They're thinking, he's from Nazareth, and no good thing comes out of Nazareth. But the word of God says he shall be called a Nazarene. Oh, no, we don't care about that. He has to be the son of David. Yes, he is. Okay, he has to be born in Bethlehem. Yes, he was. You only check the records. But were they right when they were saying, he couldn't possibly be because he's from Nazareth, from Galilee? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they were right. But they were accusing, and the people who do not have the correct information will say, amen to that, brother. Amen to that. Is it possible that a man, a woman, can do something very wrong and can be forgiven? Absolutely. Then what should we do about that? Is it right or wrong for a Jimmy Swaggart to be on television and be continue ministering when he's done something wrong? Be careful when you make this statement. Because I still remember, I don't know if I told you guys this, before this story came up with Jimmy Swaggart, the Lord spoke to me, like on a Saturday or Friday, one of those days. And he told me, he said, my son, he said, my son, Jimmy Swaggart is going to be in this kind of a mess. What he's accusing Jim Baker of, he's going to be found guilty of the same thing. He said, send him money. He's going to need it. Send him money. I've never sent the guy money. And I sent him money, but I didn't send him after that. But God said, he's going to need the money. Send him money. Sure enough, next day, there he was. I see. Okay. What do you do with this? Some people say, don't step on the pulpit. Don't preach anymore. Sit down, you're fired. Some people say, repent. Sit down for 6 months or for a year. When you're restored, then come back. I don't know what verse that is. But I also know that it doesn't look good for the guy to have messed up royally like that and then stand behind the pulpit and keep on preaching. It doesn't sound good. But really, really, if the man really, truly repents, how long does it take for him to be forgiven? And how long does that forgiveness qualify him then to step up and continue what he used to do? Be careful. Because the measurement that you put in is going to be the measurement that you're going to be judged by. The bottom line is, has God forgiven him? Was there true repentance? And is there change? Is there change? You say, well, I don't know if there's change because the guy just messed up now. And he says he's forgiven. So I guess he's forgiven. But careful what judgment you carry on from that point on. And that is a crucial message. That we be very careful how we make judgments. Because whatever judgment you make is going to come back to be the way God judges you too. There are people who truly repent. And there are some people who are just saying whatever it is they're saying because they got caught. But it's very rare to find somebody who's going to come tell you right away, I blew it, before they get caught. Because people also make judgments. Ah, you did that. Ah. And that's our problem. The problem we've created ourselves. And God's saying, don't deal with each other that way. Don't do it. John Mark messed up. Paul says, this guy does not belong here. Get him out of here. You can't be with us. You lousy whatever you are. Get out of this place. Leave him alone. He's okay. He's okay. Guess what? Barnabas takes him in, ministers to him, and Paul says, oh, John Mark, he's the greatest guy. He's so good. He's an awesome guy. I like him. He's very helpful to me. Oh, wait a minute. Is he a lousy guy or a helpful guy? What is it? If Barnabas didn't take time to care for him, would he be the nice guy now? We've got to be careful. We have to be wise. So we've got to ask God. Concerning every situation. Think it's just about money. No, it's not just about money. Or about things. It's about asking God, What do we do with this situation? What is your mind concerning this situation? Because God sees every individual and knows exactly what needs to be done with each individual. So we've got to say, God, what are you saying? How do we handle this? And God is our helper. He will open the door for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let me stop there tonight. Spend time talking a lot about this judgment issue, because it's a relevant issue for the day and time that we're living in. You know, people are throwing judgments every which way, you know, and making critical judgments about this and about that, and not finding anything on the basis of a standard of measurement, which is the truth. Whether it's the Word of God or the Constitution. What does the Constitution say? It says this, then follow that Constitution and don't tear it apart because you think we're now in the 21st century. You want to change it? Change it, and then you know that you have a new standard everybody knows about. But one thing that we must not change is this Bible. And I was saying to some brothers the other day, I heard a preacher preaching some kind of message, and he was making his new thing based on increased revelation, and you're changing the Bible now. The verse is absolutely twisted and changed based on progressive revelation. There's no progressive revelation when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God is exactly what it said. Progressive revelation. So now you change the Word based on your progressive revelation. Now you're taking verses out of the Bible based on your progressive revelation. That's dangerous living. Shifting the post. Now you don't know whether you are in your own property or in your neighbor's property. Because you know, the surveyor's markings are no longer relevant. Ah, really? Now you come draw the plumb line or whatever it is and say, right through my bedroom. Yeah, this belongs to me now. Based on what? Based on my new measurement. Changed it. I was thinking something I shouldn't be thinking. Ah, Jesus is Lord. Anyhow, God is good.